Mark 14, verse number 1. And after 2 days was the feast of the Passover of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. They even knew then if they'd done something that wasn't right, the people's going to get involved. Boy, if that'd be good, that'd happen politically now, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be good if it happened spiritually now? There'd be an uproar of the people when we see the absurdities and the wickedness and the ungodliness and foolishness that's going on in our country's leadership. There should be an uproar. Well, that wasn't what I was wanting to preach on. But anyway, let's read on. I just seen that when I come across it, and it just felt like I needed to say something about it. But verse 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had an indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Now, could you imagine somebody sitting there having supper with Jesus that would even make such a statement? They would say that they should have said he's worthy of anything. He's worthy of everything. But when this woman broke that alabaster box, they said, why is this waste of the ointment made? For it is might have been sold for more than 300 pence. Let's just see into how much of the value of that was. And have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, I like this, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. What a testimony. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Let's pray. Father, I pray you take for just a few minutes, use your word to speak to our hearts, and we'll give you the thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm interested tonight, just for a few minutes, what Jesus said about her, and can it be said about me and you? That is, verse 8, she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. That's going to be our message thought for tonight. She hath done what she could. I wonder how many of us could say that tonight. I can't say that. I can't say that about myself, and I know the Lord can't say that about me. Are we doing what we can? God will never expect you to do what you can't. Amen? God will never expect you to do what you can't. But I thought about she'd done what she could, and how that the Christian life is connected with service. What has happened to the preaching of salvation that produces service? In fact, that is the only salvation taught in the New Testament, is that type of salvation. We're often quick to quote Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we'll say, amen, glory to God, hallelujah, that's wonderful. And it is. But that's not all of the chapter. The very next verse says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so there's a lot said in the Word of God about service. Even the first words out of the Apostle Paul's mouth after he got saved. And he is the pattern to all of them which should hereafter believe, according to Timothy. Paul gave us the example. What came out of his mouth when he got saved was, Lord, what will thou have me to do? He knew right off the bat that service was being produced by salvation. He knew right off the bat that now that I'm saved, God wants me to do something for Him. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people's not even praying about it. They're not even interested in it. But I wrote down several things. I thought about this. She did not wait till she could do more before she did what she could. She didn't wait till she could do more. I wrote this down. She didn't compare what she could do with what others were doing or not doing. Amen? Jesus is giving this credit to her personally. Jesus is noticing what she did personally. Amen? And I want to say Jesus knows exactly what you and I are doing. I wrote this down as well. She didn't seek the approval of others. She wasn't doing what she did for show. She wasn't doing what she did to gain approval or get her name put in the bulletin or have the preacher to comment or commend her in front of the church. No, she didn't do that. I also said, I seen this. She didn't think, let's read it. She didn't think, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm just one. I can't do much. Well, do what one can do. Amen. She didn't wait till someone did something before she did hers. Amen. I like that. She or the Savior never mentions what she couldn't do. How many people does that to excuse what for doing something? Well, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. Well, you can do more than you think. Amen. And I believe it'd be safe to say about us all, we can do more than we are doing. Amen. I believe we can say at least that much and be honest about it. Amen. But I thought that was good. She was willing to do what she could for the one who came to do everything for her. Amen. We need to always remember that what service we do, it's not for us anyway. It's for Him. Amen. I mentioned this Friday night as I was preaching in the Jubilee service in Hendersonville. I said a lot of times we preach and we know before we ever even preach that most of the congregation while you're preaching are not even listening, not paying attention. Some are not even present, you know, but you got to preach anyhow. Got to preach anyhow. This is what drives me. It's not for them. It's for Him. Amen. It's Him. So she did what she could do for the one that came to do it all. I noticed some things, just simple things here that I want to mention in that statement, she hath done what she could. I noticed, first of all, and this right here probably kills most of us, that it involved a choice. There's no wording here, Brother Craig, at all that suggested that she was forced or that she was made or somebody is threatening her to do this. No, it was willingly and voluntarily from her heart. She did what she did for the Lord by choice. And I want to tell you, I know that now as much as ever. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, it'll never be by accident. It'll never just happen. You'll not look around one day and say, wow, I can't believe that. I've done something for Jesus. No, I'll tell you what. Listen, if you do something for the Lord, it's going to actually, the same way if you do something for yourself or if you do something for somebody else, behind all of that is a choice. And of course, mixed in with that choice is a desire. You'll never make a choice to do something for the Lord if you don't have a desire. If you don't love Him, I'm going to be preaching on that here before long. Listen, right at the groundwork of everything, if you don't love Him, it don't matter who your preacher is. It don't matter what church you go to. It don't matter about what doctrine you got or what we believe or embrace. It doesn't matter what church sign says. It doesn't matter that you carry a King James Bible. If you don't love Jesus, you'll constantly have to be pushed and pulled and you'll be constantly having to be babied and nursed and constantly give a pacifier and you'll be constantly offended. And I tell you what ought to drive us all is that we love Him more than reputation. We love Him more than credit. We love Him more than compliments. We love Him more than the applause of men. We love Him, and it don't matter what nobody else thinks, and it doesn't matter what goes on in my life, what storms is in my life. I love Him supremely, and that is my motive, and that's my drive, and that's my thirst. Well, amen. I didn't mean to get on that and hit a lick or two on it, but I couldn't help it. Amen. It's working in my heart. But she did what she could because there was a choice. She made a choice. You're going to make a choice to serve God? Did you know if you're not where you need to be with God, it's because you've chose that. If your spiritual temperature is at a low, it's because you put your own hand on the thermostat and turned it down. Amen. There's no excuse, no other excuse for us tonight if we're not where we need to be with God. It's our fault. Every time, not 90%, Brother Dale, but every time that I've declined spiritually, it's been my fault. Every time that I've lost spiritual temperature and spiritual elevation, every time I can look and see where choices that I made that weren't spiritual. How can you be spiritual without making spiritual choices? Amen? God help us. But it involved a choice, and there's a lot that we could say about that. But I thought, number two, it involved a cost. A lot of people won't mind to do something for the Lord if it didn't cost them nothing. I'll be honest with you tonight, and you know this is true. You know this is true. Most people are driven by convenience. And they're driven by comfort. I'll do what I want to do as long as it don't cost me nothing. As long as I don't have to change, as long as I don't have to alter my life, as long as I can just do what I want to do, go to church and read and witness and all whatever to the list you want to add that I want to do, my friend, guess what? That you'll never be spiritual. A choice. She made a choice, but she knew when she made the choice that it was going to cost her. It was going to cost her some time. It was going to cost her criticism. It was going to cost her, amen? She knew it. She didn't give him the scraps that she had at the house. She didn't go through her house and say, you know what? The Lord needs something done. We need to do something and just go through the kitchen cabinets and grab out something and see if it had a little bit of an odor to it, a little bit of a smell, and say that'll work. No. She went, no doubt, through her house and found the most precious thing she had, the most priceless thing she had. And it was that box, that alabaster box. Amen. And she said, you know what? No doubt she'd been saving that for herself, for maybe a special occasion, possibly even a marriage. But I ought to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, she brought that without hesitation. She brought that costly, that precious, costly box and broke it. When she broke it, she was saying, it'll never be used for nothing else again. That's why you and I, our lives ought to be broken for the Lord. It sends a signal to the flesh. It sends a signal to the devil. We'll never be used for nothing else. Amen. Amen. She didn't just real neatly open that box and take the alabaster out and just use some of it. You know, I'll just put a little drop here and a little dab there. A lot of people, that's about all they got, that Brill Cream religion, a little dab will do you. Amen. I'm going to tell you what's the truth. It takes a whole lot for me, Brother Brooks. I can't make it on just a little dab. I got to have a whole lot. It takes a whole lot. Amen. I'm just going to be honest with you. You say, preacher, you're confessing your faults. So be it. I'm telling you, it takes a lot, friend, for you to maintain a spiritual level that's needful today to influence people's lives. Amen. But it cost her 300 days wages for the rural worker. That's almost 1 year of working to earn enough wages to buy that alabaster box. And she willingly gave that. Willingly gave that. Voluntarily gave that. Amen. For the Lord. Boy, I like that. But I just wanted you to know that if you're going to do what you can, it's going to be by choice. And if you do what you can, it's going to cost you. Amen. God will put His finger on some things in your life and you'll think, you know what? I didn't know I was going to have to give that up. I didn't know I was going to have to quit that. But isn't He worthy? Isn't He worthy? A lot of people may look at that alabaster box as some of those men and those disciples and said, oh, what a waste. What a waste it is to see young people devoting their life to God. Oh, they'll think, what a waste to go to church on Wednesday night when you could lay it up in the couch and watch the tube and go to Jubilee on Friday night or come early to Sunday school. That's a waste of time. Oh, it's not a waste. When you realize who it's for. Amen. Who it's for? It's Jesus. He's worthy. But it's not only a choice involved. There's a cost involved. It cost her. Listen, it won't cost you to get saved. Jesus paid that price. But it'll cost you to be spiritual. It'll cost you to honor Him. It'll cost you, my friend, to please Him. Amen. It'll cost you. Somebody's liable to make fun of you. Down at the school or at the job. Somebody in the neighborhood might make fun of you. Might even be a family member, you know, make fun of you. But I want to tell you, it don't matter. He's worthy. He's worthy. Laugh if you will, but He's worthy. Make fun of me if you will, but He's worthy. Amen. Think that I'm wasting my life if you want to, but He's worthy. As long as He can smile on me, as long as He can give the approval, as long as it pleases Him, it don't matter. It don't matter. But it involves a choice. It involves cost. Number three, it involves criticism. I didn't mention that in verse 4. It involves criticism. Don't expect to serve God and expect everybody to pat you on the back. Don't expect to serve God and do what you can and go beyond the call of duty. Don't expect that to happen without somebody making fun of you. Amen. Now I want to say this real quickly and I'll be done shortly. But I want to tell you young people that are not married. You're looking for somebody to be your soulmate for life. Are you listening? You better make sure it's somebody that's going to compliment your faith. You better make sure it's somebody that'll encourage your heart for God. Amen. It's hard enough anyhow. Your flesh pulling against you. The world's pulling against you. The devil's pulling against you. The last thing you need is to get a mate that's pulling you away from God as well. Amen. Oh yes. Get somebody, listen, and don't take their word for it. Look at their life. Look at their life, amen. If they'll criticize you and make fun of you for reading your Bible, living right, dressing right, listening to the right kind of music, and going to be faithful in the house of God, if they'll do that, listen, you don't want them. You don't want them. They'll be a thorn in your flesh, amen, the rest of your life. Amen. Get somebody that's got a life and a track record that's proven that they not only know Jesus, but they love the Lord. Amen. If people's going to criticize you, Lord, please don't let it be somebody in your own household. A man's foes, Jesus said, a man's foes will be those of his own household. A man's without honor except in his own household. Oh, you don't want nobody in your own house pulling you down spiritually. Amen. God help us. Well, I didn't mean to get on all that, but there's criticism. And then number four and last, there was commendation. There was commendation. Verse 6-9, Jesus commended her. Jesus said, let her alone. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Boy, I like that. Jesus knew exactly what she'd done. They said it was a waste. Jesus said it was a good work. Amen. Amen. And what they would have thought would have been a good work, Jesus probably would have said was a waste. Amen. Let Jesus govern your life. The Bible says there that she hath let her alone. She hath done what she could in verse number 8. She hath come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Well, like that. And Jesus commended her to the point. Here's what she said. He said. He said, no matter where the gospel is preached, whatsoever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, Jesus said, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her. I want to tell you, friend, commendation. Jesus will not let you serve and not be rewarded. There'll be a payday. O.R.G. Lee, that great voice of the past. Oh, Dr. R.G. Lee preached that message, payday someday. Oh, yes, it's not in vain to serve the Lord. It's not in vain to do for Him what He deserves and what He's worthy of. It's not in vain. He takes note of it. And my friend, He'll commend you for that. He'll commend you for that. Amen. Well, I just thought we'd say a few words there about how that she did what she could. Most people are not doing what they can. I'm not doing what I can. I could do more. We could all do more. We could all move up. I believe it's pretty evident. I believe it's pretty evident that RBT could move up. I'm talking about even compared to where we've been in the past. I believe we could move up. Amen. I believe we could move up. But it'll be by choice. It'll cost us. Somebody's going to have to push away and devote some time to praying. Somebody's going to have to devote some time to self-sacrifice. Self-denial. Elevating the spiritual to be a preeminent and a priority in your life. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.